Please stand for the reading of the Gospel, which comes from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
The children are going to be remaining with us in this short moment that we have. Pray with me before you sit. Lord, we ask that you may make yourself known to us in this moment as we open up your scripture. And Father, we pray that we may learn, mark, and inwardly digest your word so that we may not only hold the truth, but then share the truth. For it is you, Lord Jesus, in whom we've come to meet. In the most powerful name we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Well, tonight is a special night. Christmas Eve is one of those rare nights I genuinely love being a pastor. There are other nights I love being a pastor, but this is one of them that I just love being a pastor. Because everyone is here. Kids are here with wide eyes, excited for what is to come. Adults are here with tired eyes and fear of what is to come. You know, there are regular attenders here. We have visitors here. We're just one big church family. And all of us are carrying a mix of joy and longing into this very moment. We just heard Luke's account. Carol just read Luke chapter 2, the account of the nativity. And probably it is the most familiar story in the Western world. You've heard it dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times. And that's a problem. It's a problem because when we hear a story that we're so familiar with, it stops being disruptive. It becomes background music. It becomes a comfortable, sentimental moment, like a warm memory of you sitting next to a grandparent or a loved one at a candlelit service, or your kids are all dressed up performing in a Christmas Eve pageant. And those memories, yes, they are precious. But this is not what Luke is doing here in the gospel. Luke isn't preserving this nostalgic moment. What he's doing is he's documenting a raw historical disruption. He's giving us geography, Caesar Augustus, Cornelius, and Bethlehem. He's giving us harsh reality, a census line, government coercion, no room in the inn. He's giving us a moment that actually happened in real time, in real dirt, with real people. Luke is anchoring the birth of our Savior in history. It is not a myth nor a metaphor. It is history that broke into the world. So tonight, I don't want us to hear the story yet again. I want us to see it. I want to find the intense reality underneath all of the tinsel and underneath all of the tradition. And I want to help us see where we're going to go with the gospel message. So we're going to be looking at this through three windows, three powerful European paintings that reveal what we've stopped noticing in this story. The darkness Isaiah saw, the chaos Luke accounts, the lowliness God chooses. Because Scripture does not present Christmas as a myth nor a metaphor. It presents it as a moment in time that breaks open our world with hope and peace and joy and love. It is all the candles of Advent that God brings. So the first window that I want to open up for you all, it's Caspar Friedrich's winter landscape. I want you to sit with this moment. In fact, we're going to leave this up while I'm speaking to you. Study this image, if you will. You see a man that is collapsed in the snow, leaning up against a gigantic boulder. Crutches are thrown aside. Small wooden cross. There's a cathedral shimmering through the fog, as if heaven is near, but still out of reach. This scene is not cozy. It's not sentimental. It's not a snow globe that provides hope. It is an emotional landscape of Isaiah 9. Hear Isaiah's opening words in which he says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You see what's happening here. Isaiah announces hope into a world that was spiritually, politically, and emotionally cold, much like Friedrich's winterscape. Israel was oppressed. Leaders were corrupt. People were wary. A future uncertain. Listen to Isaiah as he continues a diagnosis of the human condition with almost a pastoral honesty. It's a line we tend to quickly breeze over when we read this passage, Isaiah 9. And the line is this: every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. In other words, the world is violent. The world is exhausted. The world is fractured. The world is broken, trying to prop itself up with makeshift crutches, just like you see in the painting. The world is cold, not just physically, but spiritually. But here's what we learn in this passage. God does not wait for the world to improve. He interrupts it. In that world, God promises something astonishing in verse 6. Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Notice that contrast. The world is heavy, but he will carry the weight. Our shoulders buckle under fear and under stress and under loneliness and under burdens, but his shoulders will bear the government of God's peace. And then Isaiah gives us the names that echo all the way to Bethlehem and into today. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Look at this painting again. Nothing about it looks warm nor peaceful. Nothing looks mighty. nothing looks wonderful, which is precisely Isaiah's point. Look again, though, because grace dawns before the world looks ready for it. In this painting, the sun is rising. It is not setting, just like Isaiah says. It's dawn. Light begins in the cold and in the quiet. Hope breaks in while we're all still on the ground, shivering, hoping, wanting, needing, yearning. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe the crutches in the snow feel very familiar for you. Places where you've run out of strength. Places where the year has asked more than you can give. Places where you're not sure where the light will ever reach you. If that's you, listen up, because Christmas begins right here. Before Luke ever mentions Bethlehem, before shepherds hear angels sing, before Mary lays the child in the manger, the story begins with God shining light into the deep darkness and the miracle of Christmas. Is that he doesn't wait for dawn. He is the dawn. He is the light. But there's another image I want us to walk through. And this image is by Peter Bruegel. And the name of this painting is called The Census at Bethlehem. So if Frederick shows us the winter of the soul, Bruegel shows us life, particularly December. This 15th century painting is to look like Bethlehem, sure. But it also looks like Costco a week before Christmas. Right in the middle, almost invisible, is Mary on a donkey, wrapped in blue, led by Joseph, as they entered the village. Have you found them? If you'd miss them, if you weren't looking for them, which is exactly what Bruegel's point is, which is exactly what Luke's point is. Now hear what Luke says in the first three verses. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was not a political request. This was an imperial taxation and a population control. It was a strong, tyrannical Roman flexing its muscles over ordinary people. And everyone went to their own town to register, the scripture says. Everyone, every family on the move, every village flooded, every inn full. Think about it. Bethlehem was not peaceful. It was packed. And then Luke continues in verses 4 and 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah to Bethlehem. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. The Holy Family arrives not in a serene moment, but in the middle of paperwork, travel logistics, family obligations, government pressure, holiday-like crowds. Bruegel is teaching Luke's lesson. God comes quietly while the world is loudly doing something else. Look again at this painting. No one sees Mary. No one notices Joseph. No one is aware that the maker of heaven and earth, the second person of the Trinity, is right about to be born on their streets. And here is the uncomfortable truth about it. Most of us miss God for the same reasons. Not because we're hostile, but we can be. Not because we're rebellious, but it is within our nature. But we're just busy. Busy with good things, necessary things, family things, work things, important things, December things. but we're still busy. Even when Mary gave birth, Scripture says, there was no room available for them in the end. Not out of cruelty, but out of overcrowding, out of distraction, out of life happening as it does, messy, unplanned, and inconvenient. Bethlehem wasn't hostile. Bethlehem was oblivious. And that might be the most honest mirror of our own spiritual lives. Some of us are walking tonight into this moment with a crowded mind. Your December has been more a census than a celebration. It's been more of a list than a liturgy. It's been more stress than silence. But here is the grace of the incarnation of Christmas. God does not wait for your life to become peaceful. He brings his peace into your chaos. And don't miss this. Jesus is born into a world that doesn't have room for him, so he can make room for you. Isaiah promised a Prince of Peace. Luke shows us how that peace arrives. Not in a palace, definitely not quiet with luxury, but in a census and a crowd and a stable and a moment no one was paying attention to. The Savior showed up in the middle of your life, not after you've cleaned it up. Which takes us to our third window. So if Bruegel shows us a world too busy to look up, Caravaggio shows us what we see when we finally stop and kneel. Caravaggio's painting is called Adoration of the Shepherds. And I want your eyes to be led into the darkness of this painting. Caravaggio was brilliant in the way that he used light, how he pushes and pulls light in beautiful ways. Notice, no star, no halo, no royal color, just a barn lit by one dim candle. Everyone kneeling, everyone low. You see, Caravaggio painted this painting in 1609, not in Rome as a celebrated artist, but he painted it in Sicily as a fugitive, fleeing for his life after he just killed a man. He was homeless, he was haunted, and he was desperate. And perhaps that's why he could paint the scandal of the incarnation so honestly. Mary sits on the floor. Joseph is almost lost in the shadows. The shepherds have dirt on their feet. And Jesus is tiny, fragile, and vulnerable. The only light comes from what looks like a single candle, the way it might have actually been that night. No heavenly glow, no angelic special effects, just one flame in a dark room. You see, Caravaggio paints what many of his critics called vulgar. He painted biblical figures as ordinary peasants, as real human beings in real poverty. But here's what the critics missed. This is what we miss if we hold on to nostalgia and a comfortable sentiment. This is not a God who waits for us to climb to him. This is a God who climbs down to us. Christmas is not a world reaching up to God. Christmas is God bending all the way down to us, down into poverty, down into obscurity, down into the straw, into the dust, and into the dirt. And here's what makes Caravaggio's vision so profound. Art historians have noticed that in this painting, Jesus, the infant Savior, is positioned as the lowest figure in the entire composition. Everyone else is literally above him, looking down. God has made himself so small, so low, so reachable that no one has to be strong enough to meet him. Into that dim, ordinary scene, Luke invites shepherds. Look again. Now here in Luke, verses 8 and 9, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." You need to understand one thing about shepherds in order to really see the value and embrace this moment. Shepherds were at the lowest rung of society. Unwashed, ceremonially unclean. The kind of people respectable religious people kept it at an arm's length. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah, the Lord." To you. Not to priests, not to scholars, not to powerful or beautiful or perfectly curated Instagram people. To you. To me. Broken individuals, tired, lowly, overlooked, the ones that smell like sheep and dirt. And Luke continues, "This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. The sign is not a throne. It's not a crown nor a palace. The sign is a baby in a feeding trough." God lowering himself so far that the shepherds don't have to ever wonder if they are welcomed. So tonight, if you feel low, tired, or unworthy, listen up. Because I want to congratulate you because you are standing exactly where the shepherds stood that night. And now you're beginning to see it, all of you. And the only requirement for meeting Jesus is the willingness to kneel. He has already come the rest of the way. And this is the way we see the nativity story this evening. Maybe differently for the first time. So this evening we've stood before three paintings tonight, each a window into the Christmas story, each revealing something Scripture has been trying to show us all along. From Frederick, we learn that Christmas begins in the dark, in the winters we don't choose, in the burdens we can't carry, in the plains where hope feels far off, and in the coldness of human hearts. But from Bruegel, we learn that Christmas comes in chaos, in those crowded streets, in the December schedules, in the census lines, the noise of the world too distracted to notice God is riding a donkey in. And from Caravaggio, we learn that Christmas reveals a God who comes low. Low enough to enter into a barn, low enough to lie in a manger, low enough to be held by calloused shepherd hands. Low enough that no one is too small, too broken, or too late to reach him. All of us come tonight carrying some mixture of darkness, distraction, or lowly places. And Christmas meets each one of them. Here's the words that the angel proclaimed today. The town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, and he is the Lord. Not to rulers, not to the religious elite, but to you. To the weary, to the hurried, to the humble, to anyone who needs a Christmas miracle. And into our winters and into our chaos and into our dirts and into our humanity. So if you feel like you are Frederick wearing a travel collapsed in the snow, light has dawned. And if you feel like Brugel, distracted villager, caught in the frenzy of life, the kingdom of God has come near. And if you feel like Caravaggio, shepherds low and on the ground and unsure and unpolished and unseen, God has made himself small enough for you to hold. And if you feel like you are now beginning to see this historical moment for the first time, maybe in a long time, behold, receive, kneel with the shepherds that say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those in whom God forever rests. So come, let us adore him, and may the light that dawned at Bethlehem dawn in us tonight. Amen. Amen. Would you all please stand as we continue on?